Yo, what's up, fam? This is your boy Joaquin, and welcome to Truth Serum. In today's episode, we will be discussing community and how it affects our everyday lives. Building solid community can be difficult to achieve. We live in a westernized culture where busyness is the norm and where people are told to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. We live in a culture where loneliness and isolation are not only due to low self-esteem and lack of confidence, but to choices made to mask transparency and authenticity. So I am joined today with my co-hosts, Brittany, Nathan, and Aaron. So what's up, fam? How y'all guys doing today?
Man, we're doing good, man. Just chilling on here, man. New year, 2020. And so, man, we're just trying to, man, be striving for greatness, I guess.
Yo, that boy Aaron is like new year, new me in this piece.
Facts, you already know. Big things 2020. Big things in 2020.
Hey, we waiting, bro. We waiting.
Big things in 2020.
Big things popping, little things stopping. Y'all remember that song?
Don't you just dated yourself, but it's all good.
That's what I was thinking.
It's all good.
So, Nathan, Brittany, how y'all been, man?
I'm good. It's been a super good day. I'm grateful. You know, doing me.
Stop. You are tripping. She's talking about doing me, like, oh my gosh, man.
Still working on my puzzle.
Right, like Brittany.
900 pieces.
From the first
it's
episode,
real.
Y'all, Brittany was working on her puzzle, y'all, like killing it.
The episode is passed. The opportunity is passed.
Right. Cool. Man, y'all are crazy. All right, y'all. So let's push through. So, my fault, Nathan. What's going on? How you been?
Apparently nothing, because you're moving on.
Dang,
without
my
me.
Bad, bro. My bad.
Yeah, so you know, it's your friendly neighborhood local hero here. Yeah.
That dude's strapping up, bro. The spider sense is done.
Yeah, so things been going well. You know, definitely things going well with work and the many side projects that I have going on. I think all of that's going good. So new year, new me.
Cool, man. Cool.
Not really, but. Just busy,
man. The last episode, Nate, you said that you were like trying to learn how to write a book. Like, have you ever started? Have you started writing a book yet?
Oh, I have. I have 39,585 words. So I'm pretty much done with the book.
Oh wow!
Most books are around 40,000 words.
Man, congratulations,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, thanks. Well, congratulate me when it comes out.
All right, so that's what's up. All right, when it drop. All right, man. So now we're pressing forward. So just want to kind of let you guys know, and for my listeners out there, I have experienced in the past 2 years after serving with the young adult ministry that community has become a major, major issue. I mean, when it comes to friendships, relationships, dating, marriage, I mean, whatever, it has become like a huge deal. Like my co-hosts know this, but for my listeners out there, we took two surveys asking what are young adults struggling with the most? And both years, the number one struggle for young adults was community. Like, I've had plenty of conversations with people, and this is literally a legit problem. Yo, so why is this such a problem? I mean, like what's going on?
So I think the first thing that came to mind was this is a problem because we live in a post-fall world. Mm-hmm. And now I'm serious. Just imagine one of the most critical things that was impacted by the fall was relationships and community. Immediately, once I send, you send, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. You know what I mean? And so I think community has been fractured from the get-go. And that's why it's hard. Mm-hmm. Because we're working against, you know, our own weaknesses, working against our own pride and failure and sin and the sin around us.
No, that's facts. That's dope.
Just to piggyback off of Brittany, when you talk about post-fall, and I think about why do we have this problem in community? I think about honesty. I think about transparency. I think about when you look at Adam and Eve, how they were naked and unashamed, and then they go and hide themselves from each other and from God. So I think when you look at community and relationships now, I think you see a lack of transparency, honesty, and openness with one another.
Yeah, I would just say as time has progressed in different cultures, as it progresses, and every culture is different, but as time has progressed, we've become more individualized. There's been more highlights on just me. When previously, many different cultures where it was about the tribe, right? It was about the tribe. It was about all of us. Let's work together to accomplish a common goal. We see emphasis, especially in America, more so about the individual. It is about me. It's about what I think. It's about what I want. It's about my opinions. Me is being pushed above. Individuality is being pushed above pretty much the common good. There's almost no such thing as common good. Everybody has their own definitions and thoughts. And not to say that you can't have individual value, but it's just being stripped away. And in some cases, creating something that people think they could even survive without community.
That's good.
I'll get back to this later, but I'll just make this quick comment. When I went on a mission trip to Ghana, West Africa, somebody literally in a village said, "Oh, you all live in America. America has many things, and it seems like it's a great country, but I would never live there."
Wow.
"Because you all don't even know your neighbors."
Wow. Wow.
And if you think about it, kind of have a point. We went from communities that, you know, your neighbor, "Can I borrow a cup of sugar?" If I ask for a cup of sugar from my neighbor, they're probably going to get offended that I went over there. Call Uber Eats. What you calling me for? Instacart. What you calling me for?
That's true.
But we can come back to that later.
Mm. No, man. For me, community was shaped by seeing other relationships. So, like, you know, when I saw the relationship between my mom and my dad, you know, my community was formed there. You know, I thought community was a thing of, you know, good relationships and also broken relationships. I never really had a solid, you know, definition of what community was, you know, because I think society has actually changed the definition of community of what it actually should be. Like in a book by Dustin Willis called Life and Community, one of the things that he said was that society says that community is not being in proximity with someone as long as I have that connection. So having the ability to connect with people or without being in physical proximity of each other, can someone have a dehumanizing effect on our culture today? So with that being said, man, and thank you guys for your responses. I think they were all dope and awesome. So let's try to define for our listeners, like, what is community specifically? I mean, because I know it can be defined in different ways. So what are your thoughts on that? Like, what is community specifically?
I think on an essential level, community is about togetherness. It's about people who are together because of some sort of commonality. So even like C-O-M-M-U-N, like I just am thinking about the etymology of the word and like the origin of the word. Like, I'm not 100% sure about this, but this commune and common, you know, there's a commonality that's bringing people together, unity, togetherness. And so some sort of common thing bringing people together. There can be community around sports, community around different hobbies and interests, and obviously community around faith.
Now, that's dope, because I remember hearing Matt Chandler speak on this about community, and he was saying that it's funny that even people that don't want to be around community form a community with people that don't want to be in community. Community kind of like basic, right. Community kind of basically finds you, and you don't really find it. Yeah. Nathan, what you think? What is community?
Well, I won't even get to the specific definition. I think you all are pretty close to the most common definition we would. Well, close to the most. Yeah, let me finish the sentence. Most close to the most common definition everyone is familiar with. That's what I meant. So in terms of community, it's almost like you're born into, you don't really have a choice of it to some degree. Okay. Like you're born into some type of community. But like you said, your unique experiences will shape if you have a positive, you know, thought of community, or it turns negative, or if you choose to stay in the very community in which you were first introduced, or you're like, "I can't wait until I get out of this and find something else." So it starts to shape your overall perspective of how you view the word or think it's even valuable, or, you know, may say to even yourself, community, I don't need anybody. Your early experiences with community that you're automatically put in one will somewhat shape how you individually define that. But I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier, what you all said already pretty much captures the definition. Yeah.
And I even think with that, I think it's also, and I think what we kind of said already is just building relationships with one another and living life with one another. I mean, me moving 6 or 7 times, which I didn't say in the beginning, but I moved 7 times before I went to college. So you talk about what is community. And I think that's where we kind of get into people have different experiences with community. And to say that some have, when it comes to community, some are subject to what they believe it, what is community. Even just with my experience, it's just really building relationships with one another and also living life with them daily. And I think about commune, being with people. And so now coming into a society where, you know, a lot more people are on technology and are using more technological things compared to being with others. I think we're just in a, you know, different place.
No, man, thank you. Thank you guys for that. I really appreciate it, man. It seems that, yeah, what's up, Brittany? What's up?
I think that different people have different ideas that come to mind when they hear the word community. So once I asked a friend, what's your community like? And she said, what? And I'm pretty sure that what she heard was, who do you live around? What's your neighborhood like? And what I told her was, when I said community, I meant who's around you supporting you, who's pouring into you, who's taking care of you, where are you getting strength and encouragement from? So I think sometimes, especially as people of faith in Jesus, we think about community in a really specific way that's not necessarily across the board.
No, I agree with that. And that definitely takes me to my next point of, like, is there some type of subjectivity in community? Because I hear some similarities between us, but I also hear some differences, you know, because like, for instance, here's a story for me. When I got out of college, I knew a lot of, you know, types of people. I knew, like, you know, the assistant superintendent of HISD. I knew his wife was a lawyer. We also knew, like, you know, other types of doctors and people like that of that caliber. And so, but coming out of college, you know, I would just think community was just coming to my house, playing the video game and just sitting down, chopping it up about sports or whatever the case it may be. You know, we would just chill at the house, you know. So what do you guys think? I mean, is there some form of subjectivity in community? I just gave a recent, you know, definition of what, you know, my life was growing up, of saying that community was actually shaped by the relationships that I saw growing up. So what about you guys? I mean, like, how like, the question is, how does community relate to you specifically? Like, how did you know about community specifically?
Well, let me clarify this. So when you say community, we're just talking about community in general?
No, well, not necessarily in general, because one of the things that we were doing, we were basically talking about community and how, and the differences between of what community could be. Even Brittany made mm-hmm. made the same deal too, right? Where community can be different for different people, because everybody has, you know, an expectation of what community should be, right? So what is your specific expectation based on how community was shaped for your life?
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, for the listeners out there. Yeah. No, so, you know, when you were saying community, what just kept coming to mind was tribe. And the reason I'm saying tribe is communities tend to have certain characteristics, and then you introduce morals that are in there, or rules different communities have. And when you have morals and rules, it's just people start learning how things are supposed to go in the community. And you've already spoke to this, but I just want to highlight it. When people see that, they assume this is how it's supposed to be for everything, which is not necessarily true. But getting back to the heart of your question, at least for me, a lot of things that I saw in community, same thing. Things are supposed to go like this. Like, one characteristic would be, hey, if I give you something, I respect you to give me the same courtesy in return.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do something nice for you, not that I want it right now, I expect that you would be willing to do something mm-hmm. nice for me, right, you know, right, reciprocity right. or, you know, mutual exchange or whatever you want to call it. I would expect that. So these ideas start getting formed in that community and you shape, this is how it is. But when you get up and go to college or even work sometimes in other places, you're hit in the face with this community doesn't have that rule or that moral or that.
That's correct.
And I'm like, you're like, well, you may ask yourself, why doesn't it have it?
Yeah.
Maybe I should introduce it. Or you may say, why doesn't it have it? Okay, what are the new rules I need to learn here? And then a crucial thing happens. You start to wonder, based on the community I'm entering at the moment, was my past experience with community even valuable to help me in the future?
Right, right, right.
And you start to ask yourself that, and that looks different in many ways. I want to say more, but I'm going to kick it to other people.
Okay.
But I did want to at least say that just to highlight, I guess you could say, this collision of ideals that happens when you go to a new community.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say more, but I want to hear from other people too.
Aaron, what do you think, man?
I mean, I think when it comes to expectations or just community in general, I think about people. I think about those inside of community. So first thing that comes to my mind is family. You talk about intermediate family. Who is there? When you think about the grandfather, the father, and maybe the son, or the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter, I think about those three instances, and not only just that, but them pouring in wisdom and providing encouragement to one another. I think in community, and even the expectations in community are very, I would say, silent.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the expectations of community. So, for example, I guess for some, it could be, yo, we encourage one another. But in another community, I was like, oh, why don't y'all encourage people? But it's like, because they've never been in a society, in a mm-hmm. community like that, it's just, they don't really encourage people. Yeah. They don't love on people. They don't provide wisdom. So I think when it comes to community, not only is the family, but I think it's those inside of the tribe, inside of the community that actually pours in wisdom, who encourages, who loves people inside their community.
Brittany, what about you, sis? What do you... What are the expectations of community, and how has that affect you individually?
So when I left college, I joined a church in Atlanta, and we...
The A? I'm from Macon, y'all, so Atlanta's like a bit, like maybe like an hour north from me, but anyway.
Represent. So we actually had a really, really strong community at that church, and that became my expectation that people are going to look out for you, call you, talk to you. They're going to be honest with you. They're going to tell you about how they're really doing. You can tell them. They're going to pray for you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to do the one another's. They're going to have your back. And that was my expectation. When I went overseas, my expectation was completely shattered. And I realized for the first time that there are people, even people who are also Christians, who don't have the same experience or expectations, and sometimes even the same desires for community with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very devastating.
No.
And there were some cultural differences in there too. When I got back and returned to that same community, eventually I moved to another city, and even, which is Houston. even here at Crossover, my community here is very different, primarily because there's not an emphasis on living in proximity of one another. But at my last church, there was. And so people tended to live pretty close. Mm-hmm. And so when I wanted to see you or come over, for you to see me or come over, you would be within about 10 or 15 minutes of where I am. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't for everybody, but kind of the general. And now I have friends. I'm in Houston, and Houston is one of the most sprawled city on earth. And my friends live 45 minutes away. My church is like nearly an hour away. And so to have things so spread out puts a strain for me on connecting deeply with people in a face-to-face type of way. And I remember reading this book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's called Life Together. If you haven't read it today. It's a really short book, but it's powerful. And he mentions this idea of idealism and how idealism can destroy a community, mm-hmm. how people's expectations and what they think is supposed to be there and people are supposed to do can completely destroy things because it's not real and it's generally selfish. And so dealing with what's in front of you and loving and serving the people in front of you in the ways that you can is going to be the most productive way to think about community.
No, thank you for that, Brittany. Life and Community by Dustin Willis talks a lot of different book. Life and Community by Dustin Willis talks a lot about that as well, especially about being authentic about yourself and being honest with other people about who you are. So thank you for that plug. I really appreciate it. I need to read that book now. Thank you. So with that being said, we just talked about the similarities of what community is. We talked about the differences of what community is. Now we need to move from individual to more so cultural. So like in Western society, you know, I don't think we can get pretty far today talking about community without having a conversation about technology. So like, you know, so how has technology shaped new ways to communicate with other people? Nate, you haven't talked in a while, so what's up?
Hey. He said technology question. I'm going to give it to the technology guy. All of those who know technology, you know you cannot run away. People are going to call you to help them set up an iPhone or something or answer a question about technology and community. Hey, no, but a lot of people think, some people feel that, you know, technology takes away genuineness. Technology will be the death of us. We watch too much TV. We don't pay attention to certain things. But honestly, again, technology really just emphasizes those things that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of technological advancements were put into place with good thoughts and good reasoning. But it's us as individuals who take it to the extreme and then have an adverse effect of the original intended benefit, specifically the phone. Hey, I don't want to write you letters anymore. I don't want to write you telegrams anymore. You know, I don't want to do Morse code or whatever it is anymore, or smoke signals. I don't want to do all of that. You know, I can't go down in your DM with a smoke signal. That makes no sense. You're like, hey, somebody else responds to the smoke signal. You're like, not you, like that, right. Over there, like not you. But again, early communication, telegram, I don't want to do this anymore. Hey, we could actually put voice in a current and then at the receiving end, let the voice come out so you can talk to one another. So a great invention. But then fast forward, some people spend all their time talking on the phone, not even around the people that are most closest to them. Or even worse, we have more technological advancements, but you don't use a phone to contact family members who are at a distance. Now that it's easier, you use a phone to do other things. Again, yeah. Smartphone. You have a smartphone. The bad thing that we tend to see with it is people are at an event where you can interact with people, but they're just on their phone the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I mentioned it earlier, the whole, now it's about individual. This communication device is for me to do what I want to do, not necessarily to talk to somebody. Oh, why is that? But again, I think technology really just starts out good, but ultimately, we take it to sometimes selfish intention. We could even talk about social media. Mm-hmm. I remember when Facebook first came out, when Facebook, you had to vote to get your school on it. And it was really about colleges and community, and you can sell books to one another and tell people about class. Then they opened it up to everybody, and it just started becoming toxic.
Yeah.
But again, the original intent seems positive,
mm-hmm.
but we take it. And we run with it. And when we run with it with communication like that, it can just get off. And that's just something that we all have to be aware of. And if you're not intentional about how you're communicating with someone with technology involved, you'll see more so that rather than technology being something that can enhance community or keeping in touch with people or whatever it might be, it can become a distraction. Or it can become something that is viewed in a negative light rather than a positive light. And I don't know about y'all, but yeah. Tons of people tell me, oh man, I took a break from social media because I had to get off. Well, you weren't taking a break from genuine community. You were taking a break from some of the toxic things that I'm alluding to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Man, Aaron, what do you think, man? How has technology shaped some of the new ways to communicate with each other?
I think technology has allowed us to communicate a lot more than we used to. For example, I think Nate did a great job when he was talking about letters took a long time to get to someone.
Yeah.
Then you had an email. Mm-hmm. Then even probably before that, you had an instant message, right? You had a beeper. You had a cell phone. Now you have social media from, you had Facebook, you have Twitter, you had Vine, 9 seconds. You had Instagram.
You said Vine.
Yeah, Vine, if you know about that. You have Snapchat, right? You have so many other avenues of social media of how you can communicate with one another. And I believe those things are very, very good. However, with that, I also do believe, I think it has made us not know how to talk to one another. Just because we're on our phone, we communicate by way of texting. But when it comes to talking to someone right across from us, we may not know how to do that. Mm-hmm. So now, I'm going to go there. But instead of asking a woman out, yo, we're going to slide in her DMs instead.
Yeah.
A swipe left.
Oh, swipe left. Hey.
Or swipe right. I don't know
about that one.
I don't know.
That's new for me.
Yeah, that is. That's a new one. Is it swipe left or swipe?
Left bad, right good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Hey.
Which I just want to point out, left is bad. Uh-huh. Us left-handers don't feel good about that.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know me.
Totally agree.
Well, I just go and ask just for your clarification. But anyways, but I think it has allowed, and it has, because of these things, it has not allowed us to be able to communicate different things and be able to talk to one another. And I think talking to one another sometimes is more beneficial than being on social media and doing technology. And I even think about the home when you talk about technology and you having devices. And I think when it comes to eating, for example, instead of just eating together and talking with one another, we'll just be there and we'll have our phones out, we'll have the devices out, and we won't be able to know how to talk to one another because we've been communicating by a device for so long.
Yeah.
And I think it has, like I said, I think technology has done a wonder for us, but I think technology, however, has kind of handicapped us also when it mm-hmm. comes to communicating well with one another.
No, that's good, Aaron, because I'm actually reading this book. It's called The TechWise Family. It's by Andy Crouch. Really good book about technology and the harsh reality of, you know, technology and how we should really limit it for our lives to be more creative. And one of the things that he says in the book, he says, increasingly our lives have been colonized by things that don't just help us accomplish a task, but do the task for us. And so, like, you know, so like when you say that technology has kind of crippled us in a sense or whatnot, I think that's important because if we're not careful, I think technology can become a crutch versus the actual help that it should be. And, you know, I think we should be leaning more so on each other. And I think, I'm sorry, yo. I think you know, technology has definitely been a major issue when it comes to that. So, Brittany, what's up?
I want to say something real quick. The American Psychological Association has a statement about technology, and the reason why I want to read it is because I think it's really profound and will help us talk about some of the implications of Community Day. So it says, "We are tempted to give precedence to people we are not." That's not the part I wanted to read. It's a great psychological truth. Whoops.
Can you mute your mic again and we move on?
Okay, so this is a really great point by APA, American Psychological Association. It's a great psychological truth that if we don't teach our children how to be alone, they will always be lonely. When they're always connected, children, adolescents, and adults become dependent on the presence of others for validation in the most basic ways. When people move from, I have a feeling, I want to make a call, to, I have a feeling, I need to send a text,
something unfortunate happens to their relations with others. They start to need other people to feel validated, and they cannot approach others as full, individual, differentiated people. Rather, other people are used as what one might think of as part objects, spare parts to support a fragile self.
No, that's good. Along with the whole deal of like being alone, and I wanted to bring up something. So isolation and loneliness, you know, we understand that, you know, being lonely, you know, can make people feel that they have maybe a lack of self-esteem, a lack of confidence. But is it really a lack of being honest and truthful about someone's own personal personality or someone's own personal issues? So here's an example. I had a conversation with a person, and one of the things that they were saying that, hey, well, I'm an introvert, right? You know, I talk to different types of people, but, you know, it's definitely difficult to be able to form other communities, even or be a part of another community, even inside of the church body, because a lot of times it may feel that, you know, I'm not necessarily welcome, but which is understandable. But however, sometimes people don't even put themselves out there, you know, to be a part of a community. I have a friend that used to go here and whatnot. He used to call me all the time when I first came to Crossover. And I used to be like, why is this dude calling me all the time? I feel like he wants to get in my business. Right. They're like, that's kind of how I felt. I feel like he always wants to be a part of, you know, like who I am and wants to, you know, dig in. I feel like he's kind of being nosy. But at the very same time, I was saying, I want, you know, someone to be able to confide in. I want to be able to talk to somebody, you know, but I wasn't really willing to be truthful and authentic with this guy that kept calling me, right? So like, you know, so how do we, you know, weather the storm of dealing with self-esteem and confidence versus authenticity and transparency?
I think you have to be willing to take a risk. I think you have to be willing to first know what a friend is. If we look at Psalms 119:63, a friend is someone who knows God and obeys his precepts. So if that's a friend in our community, you should be willing to take a risk on them. Now, I think sometimes we go into isolation or sometimes go away from community is because of some of the hurt and some of the pain that we have felt. And that is real. And I, even me personally, I felt that. However, I think you have to be willing to take a risk and have faith in that friend, such as Psalms 119:63, who loves God and obeys his commandments. And you should be willing to take a risk on them because they're not going to hurt you.
Mm. Mm.
But if we don't,
they might hurt you.
Yeah, they may.
They might.
Yeah.
That's kind of a part of it. Yeah. You have to be willing to be hurt.
Okay. That is true. You do have to be willing to be hurt.
I agree with that.
Okay. I feel you with that.
Brittany, what do you think?
Firstly, I'd like to say that.
That's real.
I think about loneliness as one of the several human emotions. And I think our emotions are very much like a dashboard. Chip Dodd has a book called Voice of the Heart, and he talks about these 8 emotions and how they can be keys to unlock these doors to good gifts from God. Or they can be dangerous, and the emotions themselves are not dangerous, but those emotions can lead you to a place that's not healthy and not good. So loneliness in itself, I think it's very neutral, and it's like those emotions on a dashboard, and they're showing us what needs attention and what's going on inside. And so when I experience loneliness, I know that nothing's wrong necessarily, but that's the inside of me letting me know, Brittany, you need intimacy. And primarily we need intimacy with God, then intimacy with ourselves and intimacy with others.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that loneliness can lead to this good thing, which is intimacy. Or loneliness can lead to isolation, where I pull myself away. And I say, no, I don't want to take a risk. No, I don't really want to be known because I'm afraid. And so I do think that you do have to be willing to risk because there are no guarantees. Like life is not going to be easy. You can't control what anybody else does.
That's true. Nate, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I won't be too long, but I mentioned I have to give a disclaimer. So people are like, all right, how long are you going to talk? But I had to give that quick disclaimer. But honestly, just what comes to mind is, again, I was thinking about the difference I've spoken on about isolation versus solitude. I was just speaking about the difference of it, and isolation is you secluding yourself pretty much for your own selfish reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from solitude, which is I'm just taking some time away to refill, recharge, but I intend to return back to community.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to take a sabbatical, or because that implies I'm going off for a while, but I will be back. But in terms of like, oh, I just need some time to myself, and like you jet and leave, that ain't a sabbatical. That's not like solitude. That's right, you literally abandoning community to go because you'd rather be by yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or you being by yourself is viewed as more valuable than what others can add, right? So again, I just wanted to highlight that because I think knowing and discerning the difference between the two can help inform what state you might be in.
Yeah.
So I think that's very crucial. But again, nothing wrong with solitude because you intend to come back to community. Because mm-hmm. we, as people, humans, you need community to survive.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. I agree with everything you guys are saying. I also want to say, too, that I understand that self-esteem and confidence is a very, very big issue when it comes to loneliness, because to be real, like, depression is totally real, and we're definitely not, you know, excluding that at all. However, what I want to be able to get across is that sometimes people make choices to put themselves in loneliness and isolation. So, like, you know, if I'm not being authentic about my sin, about what's going on, how can I actually help you? How can someone actually help me with, you know, with what I'm going through? How can I even get in to a solid community if I'm not going to be authentic about, you know, my issues and about what I'm going through? Dustin Willis, in his book Life and Community, actually says this: is why do we consistently choose hypocrisy over honesty? And he says, I think the answer is simple. And he says, fear. And it's like, a lot of times, because we are basically fearful of being authentic about our own issues, so therefore we don't want to let anyone else know what we've been through or what's going on with us. So therefore we shy away from being in community and therefore end up being so-called surface level Christians or surface level people with others. So somebody told me that, like I said earlier, that, hey, I'm an introvert or whatever. And I'm like, yo, introverts talk to people all the time. You know, and then I've said, you can flip it. You can also flip it on the other side. Someone could be a major extrovert, right? But if that person isn't honest, all you're going to have is an extroverted surface level person that you're not going to be in true, authentic and transparent community with. So I think it's really important, you know, to understand that, there is a responsibility on people of both sides, right? There's a responsibility on the church, and there's also a responsibility on the people who are, you know, seeking community as well. And I think we have to make sure that we're interested in that also. Now, along with that, I think also that, you know, and not only with the fear of being authentic and transparent, but I think also that we have to understand that people are busy, especially young adults, right? Because we are doing so many different things between the ages of 18 and 35. We're buying houses. We're graduating from college. We are getting married. We're doing so many different things that, you know, we need to do. But a lot of other people are, you know, struggling, you know, trying to find community because other people are actually busy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So as we discuss community and some of the cultural issues of what's going on in community, now we need to kind of start defining biblical community. Like, you know, how can we, you know, define that? Like, I have a definition that I can quickly give. So, like, basically my definition, we had a Bible study, the young adults here at Crossover Bible Fellowship. We had a Bible study called Koinonia a couple of years ago. You can go download it on the Crossover Bible Fellowship app. And one of the things that I said when we taught this Bible study was we gave a godly definition or a biblical definition of what community was. And we said community is when believers can come together and form a special bond that models the triune God, a people who should strive to operate in perfect unity and perfect harmony among each other. So that was the biblical definition of community that we gave. So, like, what are your thoughts on that, of what community is biblically?
So I see the Bible explaining biblical community in several ways with different images and analogies. So one common way is Jesus talks about his people as being his flock, with him as the shepherd. And I'm sure there's lots that we can pull from what it means to be a flock, but it definitely means being together under one leader that you're dependent on. And then I see the image of a building with Christ as the cornerstone. And so this building, this structure, that has this leader, this important and essential part being Jesus. And then I see a family, people who are united under one father, and under one name with a heritage. And so there's oneness in all of the images, and these are only three.
No, I think, you know, Professor Brittany hit it on the head. So. No, you know, just simply put, just to add to that, all I would say is the way God has constructed things, of course, everybody has their own purpose. God uniquely shaped you for you to do specific things that he would like you to do. And in order to accomplish that, a lot of times community is needed. So pretty much if you're looking for your destiny, your purpose, your calling, there's no way you can do that outside of community, and community needs to be a part of that. Now, of course, that might, and this is why I said this earlier, that might clash with your previous experience of community or something bad that happened within community, or you're in a certain community now and it doesn't match up with what you're accustomed to. But regardless, you will have to be in community in order to accomplish those many things. So again, I know you asked specifically for a definition, but I'm more so speaking of, Brittany defined it well, and in order to do whatever you're called to do, community will be needed to do that. So it would be better to embrace it rather than run away from it.
So man, thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Brittany. Thank you, Aaron, for your response. So man, it's good to also have an objective look at community. And I'm glad that you guys said what you said, because you guys gave a really good definition of what that looks like to be in community together and representing, you know, the triune God, who is a perfect community within himself. So now with that being said, I want to take this a step further. What action steps should we take in regards to this topic? I mean, in regards to community, like, how can we help the next generation?
I think one of the things that we talked about is definitely meeting the needs of the people, and knowing how to meet the needs of the people. First, I think you have to observe and see, okay, what are people struggling in? How can I serve one another? And how can I love on that person in the community that we're in, and then be able to meet the needs of the people in that certain community? So I think it's being able to serve one another and love one another by meeting their needs of others.
Mm-hmm. One thing we can do to support and serve our generation and the next generation is by becoming the community that we want to see. So as we know, we talked to some young adults recently, and we're not as connected as we want to be. We don't know each other as well as we would like to. We all are experiencing loneliness and disconnection. And so I think the first thing we need to do is to decide to be the example and to create the community and create the culture of community that we want other people to experience with us. And I think, just like Aaron said earlier, I felt really impacted and convicted by that. We have to be willing to take risks. So to call people who didn't call us first, you know, or call somebody again who didn't call you back, you know?
And I think it's like, even with, you want to be the community that you want to see, yo, invite somebody up to Starbucks. You know, everybody goes to Starbucks. Or invite somebody, I don't know what y'all do. But like, for example, invite them to your house to watch the game. Like, you can do, I think there's simple things that you can build community. If you like working out, go work out with somebody. Go play ball with somebody. And I think those little simple things that you do helps build community with one another.
I want to speak to one thing. I'll say this. If you're trying to build community or spend more time with other people or get to learn about them, or, you know, you have something to offer, they have something to offer you, and you, when you all get together, you are a great team, whatever it might be. The thing that you might need to at least know is coming is when you first start doing certain things, you're not going to feel genuine. You might feel fake. It might feel like a waste of time. You might think or interpret like, hey, I know I'm doing this. This thing is not really getting me anywhere. But at a certain point in time, there'll be a switch from you feeling fake to it being genuine, or you saying, man, I haven't talked to this person this week, because you always talk to them on a weekly basis. So that feeling may happen, but it will go away. Joaquin alluded to somebody who used to call him, and he says, what does this person want? Like, why do they keep calling me? They're trying to get in my business. But after a while, he looked forward to the calls, yeah, or even became the person who was calling.
That's real, man.
Right? So there's a time period where you won't feel genuine, awesome, empowered, whatever it might be. But if you keep on putting in work and investing in community, you will get a return of whatever it is that you invested. And I mean, that's just how you formulate friendships of any kind, right? There's people who call me, and normally I'm the person who calls, but then they call me back. It's like, oh, okay, I haven't heard from Nathan in a while.
Right.
Why is something seems missing this week? Oh, I haven't talked to this person. Or, oh, we haven't spent time together. We haven't gone to Starbucks. I don't drink Starbucks, by the way. But we haven't gone to Starbucks. By the way, Starbucks does not sponsor this podcast. So we're saying their name, but it's not an endorsement. Yeah, so that wasn't an endorsement.
For sure.
That wasn't an endorsement, but regardless. So, correct. But again, you'll feel one way, but there will be a turning point as long as you're genuine and still investing.
Honestly, Nate, I love that you said that, because at least for me, it can feel like, man, I am reaching out to people and trying to make things happen and people are not responding. And it can be very painful and discouraging. And so just knowing that there will be a cost to it, and the cost might be some experience of rejection, you know, and that there's hope that you can get past that and that you will start experiencing what you're trying to create. And honestly, I mean, we have a lower tolerance for this with relationships, but we experience it in various other ways in life when we start new things. Yep. And it's difficult and it's rocky, but we keep on. And so I think that was an encouragement to me to keep on. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah, I think it's important that we also give some resources to you guys. So some good resources, I think, is one book is called Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves. It's a really good book that describes the relationships between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and actually talks about more about the community between the triune God. Also, Life in Community by Dustin Willis. I think that's a wonderful book to be able to purchase and read. I think it'll give you some really good clarity on what community is and what it should be from a biblical perspective. Also, The Tech Wise Family by Andy Crouch is a really good book to be able to know like how you need to limit technology in order to increase the community amongst your family and possibly amongst others. And a couple more books is On the Block by Doug Logan, basically developing a biblical picture for missional engagement. In the book, he talks about basically establishing community, not only overseas, but how the mission field is here in your neighborhood and form a community with there. Even on race relations, I think a really good book would be White Picket Fences by Amy Julia Becker, who talks more so about, you know, white privilege, and how, you know, we can start that conversation by forming communities with other people of different races. Just wanted to say, Nathan, Aaron, Brittany, thank you guys so much for the podcast today.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it. And if you guys have any questions, please feel free to hit us up at truth_CBF on Instagram. And we'll be totally willing, to answer your questions. If it's related to the podcast, just say it's related to the podcast. So, like, please ask us a question, and we'll be there to meet your need accordingly. Man, so I really appreciate you guys listening. And what's up, Brittany? You want to say something?
Yeah, maybe you guys have some ideas about how you've built community where you are. Maybe you have some helpful experiences or tips that can add to the conversation. So share those, too. Or some risks that you're taking so we can celebrate you.
Mm-hmm. Dope. Sound good? All right, man. All right. Till next time, y'all. True Serum Podcast, we out.
Holla!